This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So I think, you know, Biden's record in the Senate actually reflects very racist legislation, but he has a chance to correct that by doing right by black people.
That's Charlamagne Tha God talking about Joe Biden and his record of racist legislation. His words, not mine. You know, we're in the middle of, right now, the George Floyd Memorial Service is taking place. Something that was initially massively unifying for the country. Mm-hmm. You couldn't see what happened to George Floyd and go, well, there was no well. It was, holy crap, what is going on in this video? Everybody was in agreement on this. I haven't seen anybody come out, not a single person, come out and say that what took place in George Floyd's death was the right thing. Nobody! But yet here we are, you know, we're a week later, and it takes less than a week in this political cycle for things, you know, we haven't talked on this show very purposely this entire time about how politics plays into this. If you recall, Joe Biden made a speech earlier this week, and Trump had spoken earlier this week. I really didn't talk about either one of them because I felt like if I talked about one, I had to talk about the other. Of course, I'm not going to support Joe Biden for president. That's not a surprise to anybody who's listening to this. But I don't want George Floyd to be a Democrat-Republican issue. This is a human issue. But we are in the midst of an election. Like, we talk about all the crises we're going through right now. I feel like the election is another crisis that we're going through. And it would be in and of itself. It's not really the best example, even though, you know, the representative, the republic that we have here in this country is a thing to be proud of. It kind of brings out the worst in us in a lot. How does politics fit into what our country is going on? And how can it actually contribute to something better? I want to ask Tyrus about it. Let's get him on.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus is a Fox News contributor. He's host of Nuff Said on Fox Nation. You can subscribe at foxnation.com. You also see him on the Greg Gutfeld Show each weekend. Tyrus, I haven't talked to you for 2 weeks. It's great to have you back here. And wow, what a 2 weeks it's been.
See what you get for going on vacation?
I went to the dentist last Thursday and had a cavity filled. That was actually a vacation from the news at this point in time. It was actually a break. So tell me, when you're seeing, I want to give you the opportunity to just speak on this because you haven't on this show yet, but as you're taking this in as a black man and watching what our country is going through, what happened to George Floyd, what the protesters are saying and what the rioters are saying, and I'm separating those two, and then the politics that naturally follow, what's your reaction?
Well, you made a great point. In, I guess, your monologue or opening statement, however you're going to phrase it, you've done a good job of not trying to talk about the politics of it because that is the ugliest thing in all of this. And there's not much worse, uglier than what we saw, the murder of George Floyd. And as a black man, I guess I'm supposed to be outraged and upset. But the thing was, I wasn't alone. I didn't have to convince anyone. You know, like it was unified that we were all shocked and upset about it. You know, we were all, and there wasn't any news person that was like, hey, I got to hear the whole story.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, but That was for the first 3 days. And then the political virus comes into it, where it's now becoming it's somehow the Republicans don't care, and the Democrats are the only ones who do care. And that's what's being pushed or being rubbed through the cycle, or another opportunity to attack the president. And it's disgusting. And we saw the same thing with COVID, where it became political. Medicine should never be political, and human life should never be political. It should always be principle before party. But unfortunately, we are living in a time where the most dangerous thing in the world is becoming verbiage from politicians, because it's inspiring and causing situations to get worse. This was a unilateral, unified outrage of what happened to George Floyd. And the fact that it's trying to be turned into a political argument, I feel, is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's revolting, you know? because when you actually have the opportunity to see this country be united on something, we can't ruin that fast enough. I want to ask you about, I saw this shared on Facebook, and it really resonated with me, because everybody's a social justice warrior right now on social media. Nobody can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody cannot speak. And this is what it says. If you're on social media, if you're being silent, you're not supporting the cause. You're part of the problem. If you're speaking up, you're supporting the cause incorrectly. But what about X, Y, and Z? If you're spreading positivity, the world is not all sunshine and rainbows. Seriously, have you guys not heard of toxic positivity? If you're being a realist, why are you being so negative? If you're being for protesting, you're supporting violence. If you're against rioting, you're more worried about property than lives. If you believe hashtag Black Lives Matter, don't you know all lives matter? If you believe hashtag all lives matter, don't you know that all lives don't matter right now? You're part of the problem. If you believe hashtag blue lives matter, you support corruption. And, you know, that is the way I feel about it. Like, I stressed over, I feel like I have to say something on this issue, but nothing that I'm putting in my mind passes through all of the filters of I'm going to get bombarded for this. Like, my heart and my intentions don't matter at all. It's what everybody's going to consume and destroy and destruct what I say to tell me how terrible of a person that I am.
And that's where it's even more important for you to speak your mind and your heart, because there's individuals out there that just want to see the world burn, and every opportunity they can, they're going to do it. But it is, I'm supposed to be outraged, you know, when you have, and I hate even talking about it, but when you have fellow white Americans just as outraged, it's powerful, because it becomes not a color thing. It becomes a human thing. So it's very important because we're all going to get attacked. I'm going to get attacked. I'm being attacked. I can't possibly support the police department and be outraged at the murder of George Floyd. It's one or the other. It's not 100%. There are police officers out there that are disgusted by what they saw from those former officers.
Yeah.
But the fact that that narrative is being told, and the fact that for you to even feel you can't speak on it. Yes, you can speak on it. You're a taxpayer. You're a human being, and you're a voice. And being attacked means that your voice makes a difference, and it changes things. It's fear, causes fear. An ignorant bigot doesn't want to hear Annie Fries agree or say, hey, I'm a Republican, but I'm a mom first. You know what I'm saying? Like, that principle over party. And this situation has nothing to do with party, and it's about people's principles, and it's about American outrage. And of course they want to silence you, because you're the game changer. You know, I had the same talk with Dr. Drew Pinsky. He was like, I'm afraid to speak. And I'm like, speak, bruh, speak.
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid. Your voice matters, if not more, because you can reach people that I can't. You might change a mind.
The only way that these people who bring this hate towards these statements, the only way they get power is if it's given to them. They don't yeah. bring power to the table. If somebody like myself, and I spoke on this as a mom, I have three children, they're all white. I can imagine. I can't empathize, but I can imagine having a black son. And you know, I've read this article online multiple times that talks about, you know, when your black child goes from being cute to being a threat. That's their words, not mine. But you know, I can empathize as a mother, not as somebody of that race specifically. But I can care, and I have compassion, and I feel as though I have that voice to give. But when I fear speaking up, and I'm speaking for me right now, because I did, I talked to my boss about this. I made a statement and I ran it past him because I am so afraid that people won't look at my heart and my intentions. And, you know, gosh, Tyrus, you've seen it happen before. People get canceled over this. This is how I feed my family. Yeah. And if I say the exact right thing in the exact wrong way, I'm toast. That's the world we live in today.
No, you're 100% right. And all those things you said are so true. But the bottom line, as a human being, seeing another human being, regardless of their color, have their life taken from them, bothers anyone, because any one of us could have been in that situation. Now, the stark reality is that happens. Police brutality seems to end up in my culture a lot more. But the only way you change it is when the unaffected become affected. And this is the one case, as horrible as it is, it was unifying because there was no out. There's enough of it. Because a lot of times when you see a video, you don't know necessarily what happened beforehand. You see the ending of what could have been a long fight, where officers were fighting for their lives against somebody, or there were, you know, the situation was completely out of control. We have enough camera footage to see from start to finish, basically. So it's unified across the line. But there's always going to be people who just want to see stuff burn and just want to do those. Like, how dare you speak out on this? You're a Republican, you know, and you support President Trump, and I think he's a racist, so therefore you're a racist. Ignorance can connect any dot. That's the problem. That's what's the advantage an ignorant person or a person with hate has over an intellectual person who's trying to understand, because you can't connect all the dots and you're trying to understand. An ignorant person can connect all the dots and will spew out something and you'll be like, what? And unfortunately, there is people who will go, oh yeah. Yeah, she has to be, when it has nothing to do with anything. And so we all have to just be cognizant that we should all be thankful that you are taking the time to speak out, because I think it's worse if you act like nothing happened. But it's safer if you do, because you take a stand, and I guarantee you this conversation, somebody's going to have a problem with.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and I just wear it as a badge of honor now. I 100% support police officers. I speak for them. I befriend them. I respect them. I help out any way I can. And at the same time, with the same passion, I detest bad cops. I despise racist cops. There's no place for them to be working in society, and you want to see them all routed out. But I want support for our police officers. I want them to have a place to go when they seeing a bad thing. They don't have to worry about the locker room or the blue line that they can't cross. You know, we need to change the way we look at things. Police chiefs should be held accountable for how many complaints their officers have and issues their officers. There's a lot of things that we can do. We can keep training up for police officers. We can make it to where if they are burnt out, if they do need that time off, they can get paid leave while they work there. I mean, they're in the worst part of our society every day. They're dealing with domestic violence, murder, rape, abuse, armed robbery, you know, assault. They're dealing with the worst parts of human beings every day. And there should be something in place, and someone needs to tap out. And if there is somebody who is power hungry and has gone overboard or goes too far or feels like he's a vigilante, there needs to be a place for police officers to be able to protect and serve the community and not lose their job or not be put in a situation where they won't get back up because they're a snitch or a stooge. Like, there's a lot of things we need to fix, and I'm all for that. So we just have to all just kind of take a breath. We're all on the same side. And those who aren't, they show them. They always show themselves. They can't keep it together. They will try anything to divide. And we're seeing it now because, you know, they put a good face on for about 72 hours. A jerk can be good for about 72 hours, and then they kind of show up. And those are the people that are going to go after you, trying to get you to give them a soundbite, setting up bear trap questions for you, anything to try to show that to deter your message. And luckily for us, you're too smart for that. So,
yeah.
But and I applaud you for standing up for what you believe in, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and we can't control the color of our skin, but we can control our attitudes and our education and the way we are towards people.
This is better than therapy for me, Tyrus. Thank you. I think the point that you're making here that I appreciate so much, that I have to constantly remind myself to remind the listeners about, is that multiple things can be true at the same time. Like we're constantly being forced into these, you know, it's either this or that. And they set the tone and the terms for the conversation, and then you feel boxed in. We don't have to accept that, and we need to push back on it.
No, and we shouldn't.
You do that, Tyrus. That's what you do. That's what you always do in the super difficult conversations like this and it's some of the other ones that may not be as hard to have. That's why we like having you on here, Tyrus. Thank you. It's always great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Honor and a pleasure.
Yep. We'll talk to you again next week. Tyrus, host of Nuff Said, and you can kind of hear right there why it's called Nuff Said, on Fox Nation. I really highly encourage you to subscribe to Fox Nation. There's so much good stuff there. Brian Kilmeade's got great stuff there. I also saw that they just added the entire series of Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
And so if that's your thing, you can get that there too. FoxNation.com. He's also a Fox News contributor. And if you don't mind and you're on Twitter, go say hi to him on Twitter at Planet Tyrus and tell him thanks for coming on here, because what he's saying there is I think what we need to hear. So it's great to have Tyrus on. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we might listen in a little bit to the memorial service that's taking place right now for George Floyd as the nation watches and mourns with the family, and as we try to put together something in the wake of his death that makes the world a better place. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I need to talk and not listen to John Mayer. That's why I shouldn't put John Mayer on my bump music.
It's tough. When there's a really good song on there, just like, let it play.
Yeah. That's listening to his soothing voice is better than my shrill shrieking. Go back to Joy Reid's human stew in the pee pool in the Ozarks, which didn't spread COVID anywhere. It just spread joy and happiness to all of those visitors in the Ozarks. Not a single additional case, no new COVID-19 cases. And yeah, nobody's talking about that. I get it. There's a lot of news going on. But we were all shamed. We were all judged. We were all told that all of these ignorant people in the Ozarks should have known better, and it's ridiculous that they wouldn't have.
We're just so stupid. Us Midwesterners, we're just dumb.
Do you take it personally, Katie?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's personal, or am I just being overly sensitive?
I 100% take it personally, because it also fits into the narrative that they always espouse, which is that we're the flyover. We're the flyover country. We're the flyover states that, you know, we're all bleeding red and the whole nine yards. It fits
into
the narrative.
That's exactly how we talk, too.
It just fits.
That accent Katie just talked in, that's actually how she talks. What you're hearing right now is her radio voice.
I turned it on.
She turned the radio voice off there for a second, and that's how Katie actually talks all the time.
I'm turning it on for you guys.
So we're monitoring the George Floyd Memorial Service, and we'll dip in here. Most of what is being aired right now, they're kind of going in and out of it, so we're going to keep our eye on it. It's taking place right now. I wanted to tell you the story about my daughter. This is a moment of levity. I know that right now there are a lot of things going on that are important, and we're talking about those things, but right now I'm going to tell you a story it made me laugh. And I haven't told Katie this story specifically because I wanted to tell her on air. this is personal, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So I'm just, this is how desperate I am to get away from the news cycle and to bring some happiness and laughter to your life. I have been doing some online shopping because you can't go into stores. And I decided, my husband has gone through our closets and he's like, you need to get rid of some clothes. You've got too much clothes, which is true. I have a wide variety of clothes over the span of my lifetime. I've had three babies. I was a size in college. Then I got married and had three babies. And, you know, you gain weight, you lose weight, you gain weight, you lose weight. So you keep all your clothes so you don't have to... Wherever you are in the spectrum, you're covered. Literally, you're covered. Well, he was going through it, and he said I had too many bras. So I was like, fine. And the truth is that I do. And I don't know, like, if you have the situation, Katie, but, like, you have particular shorts that you want to wear, and you've got other shorts. They're, like, break glass in case of emergency shorts if you need to get into them. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of go through the same cycle or whatever. Bras, definitely the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of stuff you're not going to get on the Dave Glover Show or the Mark Cox Show, folks. And I've got these. I have a whole drawer full of them, and I don't wear them. So I decided I was going to get rid of all of the bras that I have and order new ones, because I know where I go. I went to Victoria's Secret and I just ordered the style and the size I want. This is, I think, what men do. Like, you find the pair of jeans that you mm-hmm. want, and then you buy. Insert necessary quantity here. So they came, and I had the package laying on the bed in my bedroom, and I was going to put them away and get rid of the other ones. And Evelyn comes in, and she's like, oh, what are those? And so she's four. And I was like, kind of like trying. I've learned as a parent that if you shoo them away, they get more curious about things and they ask more questions. So you have to try to figure out a way to answer these questions that these kids have mm-hmm. and then move along. Well, we were out with, I'm not going to tell you who we were with, but we were out and we were with some other people. And she goes, my mommy got another package yesterday. And they're like, oh yeah, what was it? She goes, well, she just got some new stuff. Oh, and she got some new boobs. So, and then she repeated it again another time. Somebody asked me, like, Annie, do you know what your daughter just told me? And I'm like, no, 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 no.
Oh, my gosh.
My four-year-old's going out and telling people about my new boobs. And I didn't get new boobs.
Guess what mommy got?
These are mine.
It came in the mail.
Yeah. You can get anything on the internet these days.
Oh my gosh.
What do you say? I mean, like, you have to laugh when that stuff happens, right? you want to know why I've been in quarantine for so long? Had a little work done.
And I don't want to correct her, like, because it's so funny.
No, we didn't correct her.
You can't.
It's we just so don't funny. Let her talk to anybody anymore.
And you stay here in the living room.
Yeah. I mean, you know, kids pick up these things. I don't even know where she heard Vicky on her Facebook says, I wish it was that easy to get them.
Can you get them
Amazon Prime 2-day shipping
for $50?
Yeah. No.
That is amazing. She is so quirky.
Yeah.
She has got a personality of her own.
She's got a side eye. What 4-year-old looks at you out of the side eye and is implying side eye type of things? My mommy got new boobs. No, your mother did not. Stop telling people that. It's unbelievable.
Oh, gosh.
And in the midst of things like this, you as a parent are like, yeah, you know, it's your third. What a difference between the first. Like, I would have been deathly mortified if my son would have said that when he was 4. And now I'm like, yeah, you know, she's fed and clothed.
Whatever.
She's taken care of. It's fine. I said this to my dad the other day. I'm like, it's way funnier at times when your third child deliberately defies you than when your first one is. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm the middle. I'm the second. So I didn't get the benefit of that. My brother, by far, he's you're the youngest.
I'm the third too, and my siblings say it all the time. And
do you see it?
Oh, I was so offended when I was young because my siblings were both like, Katie, you could get away with murder with our parents. Like, you get away with everything. And I was like, no, I don't. I get equally punished and blah, blah, blah. And I think my parents tried very hard to some extent for that to be possible. But
you're just tired, though,
as
by the third
older
one.
And I understood. My mom and dad were like, we are exhausted. And you are exhausting.
<I'm> You're like, exhausting. Like, there's a combination of factors there that are...
Yes. And I'm like, you know what? Liz and Jack might have been onto something here when we were younger.
That's hilarious. I believe I am a middle child. It's funny to me that the middle child is usually the one that feels the most dejected, but mm-hmm. is also supposed to be the peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel like I was much of a peacemaker when I was a kid.
Really? Mm-hmm. You didn't step in? Did your sister and your brother have like tension and
no, they
and
got
arguments?
Along real well.
Okay, yeah, that makes a difference.
I mean, my sister was a do-gooder and she's very smart and very accomplished, and my brother was, you know, like, there's something about the third one that just tends to be more entertaining too. I can see that in you potentially.
Yes.
Haven't met the rest of your family enough to judge your level of entertainment mm-hmm. compared to your siblings. But my brother was kind of a clown in some capacity. Sorry, Joey, if you're listening. But I'll go look back at home videos of myself. I'm silent. I'm like mute. I talk for a living. What the heck happened? Maybe I had all these words bottled up and needed to get them all out.
You were observing. That's what you were doing.
I don't know. I'm pretty stereotypical middle child. I just think that there's something interesting about that third child where I think it's probably all of the anxiety and the worries that you had as a parent for the first kid. And then the second one that wanes a little bit, like you know that you're not going to break the kid. Like, this kid's pretty durable. Mm-hmm. You don't know that with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You panic about everything. And then you inherently, as a parent of multiples, see people have their first one and you see their anxiety and their you know, kid gloves, so to speak. And if you're a good human being, you don't judge them for it and you let them learn those lessons on their own and you provide encouragement throughout the process. But the third one is just like, where's Evelyn? Have you seen Evelyn anymore? Is she here? What is she doing?
And she's entertaining herself. She's doing her own thing.
We call her the distributor because she goes through the house and she has such an imagination and she plays with toys and she's cooking in her kitchen and then she's doing other things around the house. She puts on my shoes. She wears my clothes. She just goes around and does things, but she doesn't talk to anybody about it.
What was that one time that she said, like, women's rights or women's voting?
Votes for women.
Votes for women.
She comes in the family room. She'd been watching Mary Poppins. And if you are familiar with Mary Poppins, the mother of Jane and Michael Banks, what's her name? Ellen? No, I don't know. Mrs. Banks. She's a sister suffragette, which is funny because if you watch Mary Poppins, you realize that she's living in all of the laps of luxury of being a housewife of sorts, and she has spare time to protest for women's suffrage. But she goes around and she's got a sash on, and she, if you know Mary Poppins, Mrs. Banks has like a big hat and these beautiful dresses and gloves. And my then 3-year-old walks in the room and she had like an infinity scarf wrapped around her, a scarf that is a circle wrapped around her, and she had on this big Easter hat and some gloves, and she just came in and she's like, "Votes for women!" And I'm like, "That's right, sister, votes for women!
You go, girl!"
1920 women's suffrage. We'll talk more about that later.
That's a history lesson you don't need to learn right now.
Yeah. Would she be as entertaining if she was the firstborn? I don't know, because I don't think I'd be as patient. It's a gift. It is a gift. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, 314-241-9797, if you want to give us a call, I'd love to hear from you. And we'll also, is Al Sharpton speaking yet?
He is not speaking yet.
So we're watching the George Floyd Memorial. We will check in with that if there's a snippet of that we can bring to you. I definitely want to make sure that we acknowledge that is happening. And we'll take your phone calls as well. 314-241-9797. Back in a second.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to be with you. And as we work through this day, I think it's important that we do acknowledge that the George Floyd Memorial is taking place right now, and we're listening into it. Katie, let's just listen in to see what is happening and bring that to the people real quick.
Too familiar with in America, that pandemic of racism and discrimination that killed George Floyd. So before we make a plea to justice, we feel it appropriate that you hear from the people who really knew George, the boy, knew George, the adolescent, knew George, the man, and from whence George came. So I would ask that his brother Polonius Floyd, his brother Rodney Floyd, his cousin Sherita Tate, his nephew Brandon Williams, please come to the stage. And I will ask Attorney Tony Romanucci and Attorney Chris Stewart to come and stand with me behind them as united they tell the world why we should celebrate the life of George Floyd. Please come up, family.
So that was Benjamin Crump speaking. That is the Floyd family attorney. And right now we are seeing the Floyd family come up to the podium and speak about the life of George Floyd as he was a kid, an adolescent, and as an adult.
Well, how y'all doing first? My name is Felonis Floyd, brother of George Floyd. Well, we come up together. We didn't have much. Our mom did what she could. We would sleep in the same beds, play video games together, go outside and, you know, play catch with the football. And I used to say to myself, like, man, you can't throw. You can't throw at all. You know what I mean? because the ball never came to me. And years down the line, because I was catching with one hand, two hands, any way you threw it, I started being able to catch it. He said, I can throw, but I just wanted you to go get the ball. The ball don't need to come to you. You need to go get the ball. But, you know, my brother, we did a lot of things together, from like talking with my mom, dancing with my mom, cooking with our mom, brothers and sisters. Man, so much. We made banana mayonnaise sandwiches together, you know. It was a family thing, you know. Every day, we know when we come in the house, our mom was gonna have a huge plate of food separate from each other, and we would sit there and argue with each other who plate it was. And I'm like in like 10 or 11, I'm talking about the plate with 6 pieces of chicken is mine, and he way bigger than me. You know what I mean? He's huge. So, man, from that, being in the house with my brother, man, it was just like inspiring to other people, because my mom used to take in other kids. And most of them was George's friends, and they wanted to stay with her. They loved her, you know? And my brother, he was okay with it. So then you had 3, to me, they were grown then, because they kicked me out the room. They were 3 men, like 16, 17, they grown, sleeping in the same bed, waking up, going to the same school. And they wouldn't leave each other at all. They always wanted to be with each other at all times. I remember nights when the day before school, we didn't have a washing machine. So we would all go in and put our socks and underwear in a bathroom sink and just start washing them. If we didn't have detergent, we would use soap. But we would wash. We were going to be clean. So we would literally, right after that, we would take the socks and hang them over the hot water heater. And we'd take the underwear and hang them over there. And we would fight about it, me and his friends and all of them. Like, no, you did it last night, because your clothes probably still be damp the next day if you don't put it on the hot water heater. So from that, and we learned a lot of stuff, but it's crazy because we would, like, we didn't have a dryer. So the fastest way to dry your clothes was to put it in the oven and let it dry faster like that. So it was just, man, I love my brother, man. We had so many memories, you know, together. I remember him waking me up, telling me, hey, man, can you iron my clothes for me? And I look at him, but then I look at his size and I say, you right, big bro, you right. You know what I mean? It was just amazing. Everywhere you go and see people, how they cling to him. They wanted to be around him. You know, George, he was like a general. Every day he walks outside, it'd be a line of people, like just like when we came in, wanting to greet him and wanted to have fun with him. Guys that was doing drugs, like smokers and homeless people, you couldn't tell, because when you spoke to George, they felt like they was the president, because that's how he made you feel.
George Floyd's memorial service taking place right now, and his brother speaking about him. And, you know, when you tune into something like that, Katie, can I go to 5750?
Yep.
When you listen to what George's brother is saying there, I got to be honest, I thought that there was going to be some sort of reaction to what took place. I'm glad that's not what we heard. George Floyd was a man. He was a brother. He was a son. He was a friend. He was a colleague. He lived a human existence like we did, or like we do, like any of his brothers do, like the people who are at that memorial service right now have lived. And I think it's very important to remember that, because he's gone past the being humanized part of this discussion. It's a political conversation. It's a racial conversation. There's so much that exists right here, right now, that I actually think It's pretty good to just hear about the human that was George Floyd. That memorial service is continuing to take place. We're going to speak with Illinois Policy Institute when we come back, but we can take some phone calls in the 2 o'clock hour as well. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.